Ati swat padanti kam vandeham sri guru sri yuta padakamalam sri gurun vaishnavanscha sri rupam sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunaptanvitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bhando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshvari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Yaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You can get two.
Don't you take this too?
Why not? Krishna is wonderful. Tonight, I would like to vituperate on the Bhagavad Gita, the last chapter called The Perfection of Renunciation. It's a very nice verse text number 61. But before I do that, since it is the occasion of the anniversary of the disappearance of my godbrother, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, I'd like to just say something about my personal experience with him. And the most prominent thing that comes to my mind is that he was always very kind and very personal with me. I met him in 1975, and he was already a very well-known, prominent devotee in our movement. At that time, he was a brahmachari, and his name was Ghanashyam Das. And his main service, he was part of a team of devotees that were going to colleges throughout the United States and trying to get the colleges and universities to take a standing order of all of Srila Prabhupada's books. And so that required some expertise. And he was one of the top two. Him and another devotee were the top distributors on that team. And he was very austere. Being Krishna conscious is austere as it is. He was even more austere. And Prabhupada used to tell us from time to time that you have to rack your brain how to preach, how to distribute these books. And he took that very seriously. Sometimes he would find out, because in each university there would be one particular person who would be the department chair, and you had to convince him to sign and take, "We want the books." So sometimes he would meet the professor, because sometimes you couldn't get an appointment. So sometimes he would trap the professor in the bathroom. Or he would find out where the professor played golf and meet him on the golf course. And there were so many stories about him that relentless. And also, although he was very, very, as I said, already famous and well known, he was always very, very humble. And that, to me, is what I judge an advanced devotee. I judge a devotee, I want to see how humble they are, not just sometimes, but just in ordinary dealings, just naturally. And I found that to be his case, that he was naturally humble and very, very down to earth. And as we say, real. He was real. No pretension. I very much like that about him. So I knew him because I only would see him from time to time, once in a while. Then after so many years, we met again. By this time, he was a sannyasi, Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And his fame and stature already had increased. And then a few months before he passed away, he was here in Los Angeles. And I went with one of his disciples to pick him up from the airport. So we drove to the airport, we picked him up, and I was asking him many, many questions about ISKCON politics. And I very much liked how he would answer me straightforward. And I asked him very, very, as we say in ISKCON, heavy, heavy questions. At that time, he was in the midst of a big controversy that there was some people in our movement, they didn't like his preaching. They didn't like his books. And there was one particular sannyasi who was vehemently opposed to his preaching. And so I asked him about it. And I said to him, there seems to be political camps, just like in America. We have the Republicans, the Democrats, the liberals. I said, it seems in ISKCON we have our liberals and we have our conservatives. And more or less he agreed. But then he said, but my policy is that in our meetings, he said, my policy is I consider ISKCON one big family. And therefore, everything should be on the table. Straightforward. Just put everything on the table. No games, no politics. That's what he told me. By the time we got back to the temple, he asked his disciple, so where's my suitcase? And the disciple said, Maharaj, you didn't bring. He said, oh, I must have left it at the airport. He had this special suitcase. In that suitcase was a world traveling ticket and other things, personal things. So we had to go all the way back to the airport. But when we got to the airport, we saw hundreds and hundreds of police. And it was very unusual. What happened was there. And then we got to the actual terminal, and that's where most of the police were. Because what he had done, he had left that suitcase by the baggage claim. So he had gotten his other bag, but that, his personal, he had left there. By this time, the airport thought it was a bomb. Because here is this suitcase left out by the back. So there was sniffing dogs and all this activity going on. And he just went in there, explained everything. And one thing about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he's always smiling. You never see him morose. You never see him fried. He's always very blissful. Always. And so he goes in, and he used to have this little way he walked, like a little swagger. And he just went in, and after a few minutes, he came out with his briefcase, everything. But it was very interesting to see sniffing dogs and all this police activity. They thought it was. So, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, thank you very much for being kind to me and being a great example of Krishna consciousness. We very much... I asked him at that time, that last meeting I had with him, I asked him about another one of our God brothers who had passed away. And he said that obviously that devotee, Prabhupada, has called him to join him because he said somewhere Prabhupada is continuing the preaching of ISKCON somewhere in the universe. So he told me this was his realization. He's not, you know, saying this is the absolute truth. You have to believe it. But he was just, and I was asking him his understanding, his realization. He said, yes, that some of Prabhupada's disciples, they have been with Prabhupada before. And they will continue to be with Prabhupada. And so I asked him, I said, are you one of those? He said, I want to be. And then I said, yes, I want to be one of those too. That wherever Prabhupada is now, in my next life, I would like to be there to join Srila Prabhupada. So, thank you very much, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj Ki. Let us all chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. Alright, so let's get into this nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita. I will ask everyone to raise their hands and repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, this is a very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And let's see how we can do. Please repeat. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Hriddeshe Arjun Tishtati. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani. Yantra Rudhani. Mayaya. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. So by the strength of your chanting, I can see that this is an advanced class. Because you know this verse. So that's good. So that means I'm going to speak on a little higher level than I would normally think for a Sunday feast. Since you know the verse, that means you're ready for the next level. Let's do it one more time. Please repeat. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam. Hriddeshe Arjun Tishtati. Brahmayan Sarvabhutani. Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. Ishvara, the Supreme Lord. So whenever we see in Prabhupada's books the Supreme Lord, he wants us to understand that there may be many gods or controllers or lords, but Supreme Lord means Krishna or Vishnu. That's what when he says Supreme Lord, this refers to Krishna or Vishnu. Sarva Bhutanam, all living entities. Hriddeshe, in the location of the heart. Arjuna, O Arjuna, Tishtati, resides. Brahmayan, causing to travel. Sarvabhutani, all living entities. Yantra, on a machine. Arudhani, being placed. Mayaya, under the spell of material energy. So, spell of material energy. Generally, when we hear a spell, we conjure up, oh, a demoness or a witch is someone that puts you in a spell. So, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our acharyas in our line, he also compares that this material energy. What does he say? Jeev jago, Goda chandra. What is that? Bole, kota nidra jao maya, pishachira kole. He says that Lord Chaitanya is crying out to the conditioned souls, wake up! How long will you sleep putting your head on the lap of the witch called the material illusory energy? So please repeat this translation. Please repeat. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So this is perhaps the fifth time in the Bhagavad Gita, from my calculation, that Krishna has referred to his presence within the heart of every living entity. And this is a very important concept of Bhagavad Gita, that God is in the heart of everyone, demon and devotee alike. Whether you are a demigod or an insignificant ant or a tree or an aquatic or a bird, Krishna, God, is in the heart of every living entity. And here it says, he is directing the wanderings of all living entities. And it said also, seated on a machine. And we all know here in Los Angeles, if you don't have a car, you cannot go very far. Everything is so distant. You need a car. So, this example, seated on a machine, we can understand so much Vedic information just by understanding this example. So, I'm sure 90%, 99% of you have cars. So the car is different from you. That's the same thing that's taught in the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. You're not your car. You're not your body. You have the keys to the car. You sit in the car. You put your key in. Then the car starts. Similarly, this body is a machine. And the soul and super soul are the drivers. So that's the first thing. We're different from the car. We're different from the body. I am the driver. Yes, but even though when I have an accident, I say you hit me. But that's not reality. You hit my car, I hit your car. I didn't hit you unless I had road rage and I came out and bopped you on the head. But normally, when you have an accident, it's just the two cars coming together. Okay, so why do we have cars? Because we want to go from one place to the next. So, life is, some people say a journey, some people say a destination. You hear this all the time, modern day. Is life a journey or a destination? Is the cup half full or half empty? So, yes. So, on the road, right? The road has two ways. One's going one way, north or south, east or west. On the freeway, the cars are going in different directions. They're on the same road, but they're going in different directions. Same way, all of us are on the highway of life, but some are going to a good destination, some are not going to a good destination. Bhagavad Gita explains this very clearly. Depending on how you drive your car, you're going to heaven or hell, or you might be just circling around, coming back, taking birth again in Los Angeles. Right? It all depends. It all depends. And some people, if they follow Bhagavad Gita perfectly, then the car takes them back home, back to Godhead, to be with Krishna. Because they got off at the right exit. That exit is called Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, when you're driving down the freeway, there are so many exits. So yes, the material energy is constantly trying to delude us. All right, why don't you take a break here, go this way. Enjoy this sense gratification. Right? There are so many exits. Your goal is to go back home, back to Godhead, but Sometimes, you can even make a detour. You can make a U-turn. That happens also. Somebody is progressing nicely in life, then all of a sudden, we ask, what happened to such and such? Oh, they have made a detour. They're now going away from Krishna. That happens too. Okay? In any society, except Bangalore, India, you have traffic lanes. Those of you who have been there know what I'm talking about, right? Yes. So, there are laws. There is order. How the cars are supposed to drive. And there's a whole book, a vehicle code book, right? Of what you can and cannot do. Same way. That is why there are Vedas. That's why there are scriptures. Just to drive a car, the book, I've seen the book, it's as big, it's as thick as this Bhagavad Gita. Of the different laws of what you can and cannot do once you get behind that wheel. So what to speak of our lives. So the Vedas are that vehicle code. And the thing is, once you get your license, you can't say to the policeman when he stops you, oh, I didn't know that that was against the law. No, you can't say that. You were supposed to know. Same way. God has given us the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita. We are supposed to know what we are supposed to do and not do. Even in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 16, Krishna says, therefore you should know what to do and what not to do by the injunctions of the scriptures. We cannot go before the judge of death, Yamaraj, and say, you're accusing me of all these things? I didn't know it was wrong. No, and you can't. Now, in some countries, I've seen it in Panama. My friend was driving down the freeway. He got pulled over, and he just gave the policeman a bribe. No ticket, go away. But that doesn't happen in the court of Yamaraj. Even if you're Bill Gates, Bill Gates cannot say to Yamaraj, okay, let's make a deal. Let's make it. What do you? I don't want to go to hell. You know how much you want? 6 million, a billion, 10. Yamaraj will not be impressed. In fact, if you try to bribe him, he'll condemn you even more. You trying to bribe me? Like that. So you cannot bribe the judge. And when you drive your car and you go through a red light, that's called vikarma. Vikarma means activity that you're not supposed to do, but you did it anyway. So just like you go through the red light, and now, see, beforehand, in the olden days, the cop, the policeman actually had to see you do it, then he chased after you, like a Yamaduta. He'd chase after you. But now they've become more intelligent. Now they have that super soul camera. Right? You've seen those cameras? That even they're not present. Soon as you go through the red light, click, and then you get a thing in the mail, it shows your face. I've seen this. I haven't gotten it. I'm a good driver. But I've seen that has your face, it shows your license plate, you're guilty. So in the Bhagavatam it says, for every action, there are 13 witnesses. For every action. And I'm thinking, oh, I can do this thing. No one saw me do this. Ha, 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 ha. 13 witnesses to every action. Can't hide. Just like that photo enforcement. So, Yamaraj, it says in the Bhagavatam, Yamaraj is just like the super soul. He's empowered by Krishna. Like the super soul, he knows everything. He can read you up and down. Sometimes when the policeman is driving behind, I always get nervous when there's a police car behind me because I know what they're doing. They have a computer in their car and they're punching in my license plate and trying to see who is this guy. And if I have anything on in the records, He did this, he did this. My record, of course, is clean. Of course. But other people, and then they know, okay, let's pull this guy over. So, Yamaraj, he has a brain. He has a mind, just like Super Soul. He knows everything at his disposal. Everything. I had that experience with Prabhupada. When Prabhupada looked at you, you knew he sees everything. He's looking right through me. He can see right through me. That's why you'll see many, many pictures. Devotees on the morning walk, their heads are down. Prabhupada is walking with his head up. All the other devotees are looking down. Why? They don't want Prabhupada to look at them and see, you did this, you did like this. Like that. So, when you break a driving law, there's a reaction. You have to pay a fine. And depending on the seriousness of the traffic infraction, you have to pay a fine. So same way with life. In this bodily car, depending on the severity of the actions we commit, there's the ticket in the form of suffering. Some kind of suffering. That is what we learn from the teachings of the Vedas. That suffering is a result of breaking the laws of God or the laws of nature. And happiness is when we are rewarded for our good, pious activities in life. Okay, you all know, not everyone drives the same car. Not all of us can afford the Lexus and the Mercedes. Some of us have to drive the Hyundai or whatever, or the Toyota. It depends what we can't afford, right? So similarly, we don't all have the same body. Some of us have Mercedes bodies. Some of us have Hyundai bodies. Because the body is just like a car, right? And we all have so many different, like, there's these, like, race cars, right? These race cars are fitted, and they can drive 200 miles an hour, right? So we see some people have bodies that can do wonderful, amazing things. Other people have a body, and they cannot do so many wonderful things. So again, this analogy of the body and the car, this example by Krishna is so nice. Actually, I've been meditating on this verse now for a couple of days. And actually, I wanted to give this lecture many, many years ago, but I said, it's not time yet. But somehow or other, Krishna said, okay, today, do it today. Otherwise, you're never going to get your chance. Take it now. So today was the day. And then, we all know, the car breaks down. They don't build cars to last forever, do they? No. It's called planned obsolescence. Why do they make the car so they break down? So that you have to buy another one. Right? If they built a car that would last, they would go out of business and they wouldn't be able to enjoy their big, big vacations and profit sharing and this and that. So our bodies, like the car, break down. And they break down just like a car. If you don't take care of that car, it's going to break down even sooner. Right? So similarly, according to the Bhagavad Gita, there are three ways you can take care of the body of the car. The car of the body. In the mode of goodness, mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. If you drive this body in the mode of ignorance, it's going to break down quicker. And it's not going to behave nicely and you'll suffer. In the mode of passion, yes, you'll have a very exciting ride. Very exciting, but it will be short-lived. What does the Bhagavad Gita say? That in the mode of passion, the experience is very pleasurable in the beginning, but as time goes, it turns very, very poisonous. And in the mode of goodness, yes, it's poison in the beginning, But as time goes on, it gets better and better. Gets better with the element of time. So, in the mode of goodness, we are supposed to perform austerities and penance. That's bitter. That's the whole idea. It's like when you take medicine, especially in the olden days. I remember when I was a child, whenever I got sick, my mother would call the family doctor, and he had this brown bottle of the nastiest tasting medicine. I used to hate that. Some kind of sulfur medicine. I don't know what it was, brown. And it was like, oh, no, I hated to get sick because I knew that's what the doctor was going to give me, that brown medicine. But medicine is not supposed to be candy. And even if you have jaundice, candy is the medicine. But when you have jaundice, even the candy tastes bad because of the jaundice. So when you're sick, medicine, no. It's not supposed to be like a samosa. Wouldn't it be great? Oh, you're sick. Just take 10 samosas. Or children. Children would love this. Mommy, I'm sick. Okay, just take 2 cookies. And you'll get better. That's not the way the world works. Medicine is... So it's austerity. So in the mode of goodness, you perform penances and austerity. And in the beginning, it's painful. But as you get cured, as you get purified, it turns into very, very nice existence. This example of the jaundice and the sugar candy is practically my favorite example. Rupa Goswami, who's one of our great acharyas, he says that this process of Hare Krishna, chanting, in the beginning, it is very, very bitter. Just like someone who has jaundice. Jaundice means a disease of the liver. And because of that jaundice, your body is not functioning properly. Sometimes the eyes turn yellow, the skin turns yellow. Because the liver is defective. So the cure is sugarcane juice. So the problem is, okay, that's the cure. We got the cure, sugarcane juice. But the problem is, when you have jaundice, sugarcane juice tastes very bitter. So bitter you don't want to take it. You don't want, it's too bitter. But that's the medicine. So you have to forcibly take the medicine. But it doesn't taste good. Too bad. That's the cure. So in the beginning, that first taking is bitter. But because you're taking the medicine, you're getting cured. You go on taking the medicine, next time not so much bitter. You're getting cured. You keep taking the medicine, you're getting cured. You're getting cured. When you're fully cured, wow, I love this candy. Give me more. But in the beginning, you didn't want to touch it. The mode of goodness is like that. The initial practices of Krishna consciousness, establishing yourself in the mode of goodness, will be painful or bitter in the beginning. But as you do it, little by little, you're becoming purified until one day you're coming to the temple, you're chanting and dancing, and you're in complete ecstasy. So we should understand that where this whole process of Krishna consciousness is purifying. It's a purifying process. All of us are in some kind of disease condition. What is that disease condition? I think that I'm God. I think that I'm the enjoyer. I think that I'm independent. I think that I'm the controller. Just like you wives know. Your husband thinks he's the controller, but you know better. Yes. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. So every one of us has this psychic phenomenon where we think I'm the control. Even in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I am perfect. I am powerful. I am happy. I am the enjoyer. Here is my enemy. I have killed him. Here's my other enemy. I'll get him tomorrow. So much is mine. The whole mentality of a demon. This is, and we all have this to a lesser or greater degree. I gave a class Friday night, and we were studying three verses in the Bhagavatam, which explains why we cannot see God face to face. Even the demigods cannot see God face to face. And two of the statements were by Lord Shiva, whose day is coming. We will hear much about Lord Shiva. Even he said the reason why we cannot see God face to face is because every one of us is thinking to some degree or another that we're separate, independent controllers. This is the real root cause. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, always, always, always wear around your neck for constant remembrance. Trinadapi sunichena, tarar iva sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Always keep yourself meek and humble. Meek and humble. And in this way, we will never fall into this illusion. Even in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna explains that you should accept the spiritual master, the very next statement is, and then, what is the result of accepting a spiritual master? You will know that all living beings are part and parcel of Krishna. And you won't be an illusion. That is the whole purpose of accepting a spiritual. Why do you go to a doctor? You go to a doctor to get cured. Why do you go to a car mechanic? Because your car is not working properly, it needs to be fixed. You go to a doctor to fix the body, so we go to the spiritual master to fix our spiritual life. That's why we go to a spiritual master. And when you go to the doctor says, okay, here is your medicine, here is your diet, don't do this, do this. You can't say to the doctor, wait, I don't like that, I'm going to change it. No, that's not what you do. The patient doesn't change what the doctor. When I was in South India, I had to go see a doctor. So this doctor, he had a nice sign on his, when all the patients come in. Don't self-medicate. Because the doctor knows what's supposed to be done. So if the doctor tells you do this, you don't change it. Same way, the car mechanic. I don't know anything about cars. So the car mechanic says this. I have to go along with it. So same way, when the spiritual master says, you must follow these four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna, can't change it. Can't say, well, he said 16, but I just want to do 4. No. Why did you waste your time accepting the spiritual master? The spiritual master says no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, and no gambling. But you can't say after so many years, well, let's make it 3 regulative principles. How about best 2 out of 4? No, it doesn't work that way. You can't change the doctor's prescription. Dr. Prabhupada has given the prescription. 4 regulative principles, 16 rounds on beads of the Hare Krishna mantra. Everybody. I'll finish up by reading Prabhupada's purport to this verse, and then if there's any questions, we'll try to do that. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself, Krishna, as the localized Supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. So you can take that, just like when you're driving your car, right? Some of you might have that OnStar, or you may have, nowadays there's so many of these things that tell you where to go, where not to go, right? Those machines. So for us, it's Krishna. Krishna in your heart is telling you, no, don't do that. Do this instead. Don't go to see the Academy Awards. Go to the temple. So those who are good devotees, they said, yes, I'll go to temple. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds. But the Supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. So that's nice to know, that we have had so many cars, so many bodies, but Krishna has been with us all along. Therefore, nobody knows me better than Krishna. I may have a wife, I may have a friend, they may know me, but nobody knows me better than Krishna, because he's been with me all along. Not just this lifetime, millions of lifetimes. And he will always be with me. He'll never leave me. Isn't that nice that you have a friend that will never leave you? And I may forget him, he never forgets me. That's a friend. I forget him all the time, but he never forgets me. Someone may say, how is it that Krishna never forgets me? Because if Krishna ever forgot me, I would cease to exist. So the mere fact that you exist means, thank God, Krishna hasn't forgotten you. Krishna is wonderful. Krishna is great. This is why we love Krishna. Therefore, all the activities of the living entities are directed by this Supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. Yes, that's word. Gets what he deserves. So there's no accidents. There's no such thing as chance. Everything that's happening to me is because of the decision I made, and I'm simply getting the results of the decisions I made. This is how I accept Krishna consciousness. I accept responsibility for my life. I don't have the victim mentality. The victim mentality is, oh, this has happened because of this person, and this has happened because of this, and this, and this. No. I am suffering now because of my own stupidity. Or I'm enjoying now because somehow or other I made a good choice. And the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita is to know what is the proper decision to make. And Krishna breaks it down so simply. Here is verse 61. In just 5 more verses, Krishna will say, therefore, surrender. That'll solve all your problems. And how do we surrender? We say surrender to Krishna is easily. Just chant the Maha Mantra, everybody. As soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. Yes, when you drive the Hyundai, that's the experience. When you drive the Lexus or Mercedes, it's a different experience. Because you're in that car, you get a certain driving condition. When you have a particular body, you're stuck for that lifetime. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers, may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse. The next verse, Krishna said, therefore, Arjuna, surrender to this super soul. Now, it said here that we are not independent. Yes, even I may be an atheist, and I may say, I don't believe in God, but that's all right. You're still under the control of God. Why? Because everything we see is God's energy. To think that there's an existence separate from God, that's what we call illusion. Because there is no existence separate from God. That's why Krishna is the absolute truth. The absolute truth means everything comes from Krishna, everything is situated in Krishna, and everything will enter into Krishna. There is no void. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita you'll find this line, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Everything is Krishna. So for a devotee, whatever he sees, it reminds him of Krishna. He doesn't see anything separate. Everything is either Krishna directly or it's Krishna's energy. If I go to your house, I cannot come into your house and say, okay, I'm taking this, this is mine. You will call the police, even though I'm Narottara Das. You're going to say, Narottara went crazy. He's taking my television, he's taking this, he's taking... What happened to him? Right? That's exactly what we're doing in the material world. We're forgetting that everything belongs to Krishna. America is saying, this is my oil. Let me go to this country and take the oil. No. Whose oil is it? Krishna's oil. We make these demarcations, different countries. But from God's perspective, hey, like America has this song, this land is your land, is no. The real song is, this land is Krishna's. That's the right song. Not this land is my land, this land. Who said? You said? Who appointed you king? No. Everything, see, this boy gets it, he understands. Very good. How old are you? Yeah, you. He's 11? And he's understanding this? Very good. May Krishna bless you more and more. Yes. Everything belongs to Krishna, and that's how a devotee sees. Everything belongs to Krishna. My body, my family, my possessions, everything I see and touch belongs to Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. And that makes the devotee very, very happy. Because he loves Krishna. Who wants to love Krishna? Raise your hand. Very good. Why should you love Krishna? Why? Well, he said he's in your heart. That's one good reason. You're going to be stuck with him forever, so you might as well learn to love him. But not only that, he's such a nice God. Let everyone look at Krishna. How nice he looks, huh? I remember growing up, there would be so many, God is some old man with a beard. I don't want to love some old man with a beard. This is someone I can love. This is the best understanding of God. Beautiful. He's beautiful. He's the most beautiful. He's all attractive. Yes, when you come to Krishna consciousness, all sorts of confusions and contradictions gets wiped away. You read Prabhupada's books, you will be firmly situated in theism, and not only that, you'll be able to defeat any nonsense philosophy that you will hear. You'll be able to shoot it out. This person is spouting this philosophy, and that's nonsense. Bhagavad Gita says this, Bhagavatam says this. That's why you have to read Prabhupada's books, so that you can empower yourself. That nowadays there's this expression, we want to be empowered. Yes, be empowered by studying Bhagavad Gita and really liberate yourself. Don't join some movement for some temporary liberation. Liberate yourself truly and empower yourself truly. As Krishna says in this Bhagavad Gita, arm with yoga, stand and fight. Yes. And what are we fighting? Materialism, atheism, ignorance. We need the weapon of knowledge. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Might there be a question out there in Radio Land? Any questions? Is everybody happy? Who didn't like my... Oh yes, Chandra. May Krishna bless you. Okay, I don't, the verse is in the sixth canto, and I don't remember all of them, the sun, the moon, different devatas, different gods, I don't know exactly all of them. If you like, if you send me an email, I'll find the reference for you in the sixth canto, and, you know, I'll print it out, you know, I'll send it to you in an email. I don't know all of them by heart. As far as I'm concerned, it's just good enough to know there's 13. I'm not going to get away with it. Right? And besides that, among the 13, the most important one is Super Soul. Yes, sitting right there. The closest. And I'm thinking, no, nobody saw me do this. Yeah. Krishna saw. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Actually, we find in the Bhagavatam that even within the atom, super soul is there. So again, we were discussing this on Friday night. How Krishna is all pervasive. So here's one answer. Krishna has super souls within the heart, and he's even within every single atom. The line is Paramanu Chayantarastham, Lord Brahma in his Brahma Sanhita. But also, as I mentioned before, Krishna is impersonally all-pervasive because everything is his energy. Just like when I come to the temple, this is the temple microphone. It's not my, I can't take this home. No, it's the temple's. So for a devotee, everything he sees, everything is Krishna's property. And I should use it for his purpose. So yes, super soul is even within the atom. Any other questions? I just want to say one more thing. If you liked this presentation, I have a friend of mine. We produced a Bhagavad Gita DVD where I go through the entire Bhagavad Gita and explain it like this. So it's in English. We go through the entire Bhagavad Gita and we explain it very, very nicely, simply. So if anyone is interested, I'm selling these Bhagavad Gita DVDs. I'll even autograph it for you. For the low, low price of $29.99, no sales tax. So if anyone's interested, you can approach me. And you can watch these DVDs. And I tell you why it's good. Because who is my biggest critic? My biggest critic is my wife. And even my wife said, hey, it's not bad. It's pretty good. Usually, my wife, if I do something like music, she goes, nah, it's all right. But finally, she said, hey, this was really good. And one day I came home, and there she was actually watching it. I was like, there is a God after all. So if anyone's interested, you can get these from me. And are you ready to take prasadam? Yeah. All right. I want everyone to raise your hand. I got this special bell in South India. I was in a store buying some gifts for my family. And this man in the store, he started to do this. Do you all hear that? So that it filled up the whole store. I said, I gotta have that. And he had a big one. There was three sizes. There was one big like this. This was medium. He had a little one. And I said, the big one, I would need a whole suitcase just to bring it. So I took this one. And I really like this sound. So raise your hand and everyone chant. Hare Krishna.
One more. One more.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Gora Premanande. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week in Krishna consciousness. Take prasadam to your full satisfaction.
Krishna gives you free will.
Yeah.
He's not in your free will.
Yeah.
Your free will, that's part of you, because you're an individual, an eternal individual. So because you're part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna has unlimited, absolute free will. We have minute free will. But the free will, that's you. He doesn't mess with that. Yes. Yes. What you do is you voluntarily take that free will, and at every moment you say to Krishna, I would like